For the sake of sentient beings, countless in number as space is limitless in extent, that the goal of complete and perfect Buddhahood, which transcends the extremes of the conditioned existence of samsara and the pacification of nirvana, is to be accomplished. And in order to do so, one must exert oneself in listening, reflecting, and meditating on genuine teachings. So with this as the goal and procedure in mind, which is the development of the resolve towards enlightenment, Rinpoche asks us to begin by developing this bodhicitta. So from among the various levels of teaching given, great master of the 10th level, Maitreya, has given a collection of 5 texts, from among which the text distinguishing the middle from the extremes contains 5 chapters, one dealing with the definitions of the state of complete affliction and state of refinement, one dealing with the obscurations, one dealing with precise nature, one dealing with the meditation, and the final chapter dealing with the unsurpassable vehicle. And the chapter to be taken up at this time is the 3rd, dealing with the precise nature. So what is the reason for our now studying this chapter? It is that this chapter is extremely profound in its presentation of the actual precise or true nature, and is therefore worthy of our attention.
Sumba toza te kona ni ke pa lan do tin dan ji ki ni le tang bon do tem ban ni
So the root text which presents the entire chapter is as follows. The precise root and defining characteristics, the defining traits of that which is free of error, the precise nature of causes and effects, that which is coarse as well as that which is subtle, usage and objects completely purified, the extract and characteristics of the types, and precise nature of the 10 forms of expertise, which are the antidote for the view of self. The various points comprising the chapter are then described in the following way. That which is to be known, that which is to be understood, or the theme to be grasped, is that all objects of knowledge, all factors of knowledge, everything which can be known, can be epitomized or summarized under three aspects called the completely imputed aspect, the dependent aspect, and the perfectly existent aspect. And through gaining certainty in an unmistaken way about these, the true nature or precise nature will be revealed, one will understand it. And in that way, all phenomena are condensed or contained within these three aspects of the completely imputed, the dependent, and the existent. And in all phenomena being contained within these three, they function as a root. So the first point that is presented then are these three essentials, which are the true nature or the root under which all phenomena are contained. Then, the second point presented is the precise nature of the defining characteristics which define these three. And the third point is in relation to these three, the completely imputed aspect, the dependent, and the existent, are presented the precise nature of the defining characteristics, that is to say, the truthful properties of that which is free of error, namely impermanence and so on. And also in relation to these three essentials of the imputed, dependent, and existent, there is a presentation of the precise nature of the causes and effects associated with affliction and refinement. So in other words, it is a presentation of the causes of samsara as well as the resultant affliction, as well as the causes of the state of refinement, nirvana, as well as the qualities which result in that case. The next point dealt with is the presentation of the precise nature of coarse and subtle in relation to these three essentials. So it's a classification of imputation, dependence, and existence with respect to how these are in their subtle, in their coarse or subtle aspects. The sixth point presented is the precise nature of convention or common usage as this relates to these three essentials, as well as a presentation of the precise nature of what is and what is not a completely purified object as this relates to these three essentials. The eighth point is a presentation of the precise nature of the extract, which consists in the five ingredients within these three essentials, the five dharmas or five ingredients within these three essential natures, and then the ninth point is the presentation of the precise nature of the types or the classification of the suchness, of which there are seven classifications consisting in what is called induction and so on, as these relate to the three natures. And finally is the presentation of the precise nature of expertise as this relates to these three. So all phenomena are to be understood in terms of these ten precise natures as they are composed by or composed of the three essentials. With regard to the last point, which is the precise nature of expertise, standard explanation, which contains three main points within the outline, these being the precise nature of the three essentials, which are the root to be defined, the defining characteristics of these three, and the presentation of an eightfold classification of these. Then, with respect to the first, which is the exact nature of the three essentials, which are the root to be defined, the root text is as follows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The three essentials: that which lacks duration, that existing but not being precisely, and that which is the precise existence and not,
are proposed as being the three which are essential.
Hipara sabe, hipara sabe chu tamje, kan hipara sava, kan topara sabe chu tamje. De somji dubese, kunda yewan yondo de somji dubese. Sab te kona ni ji sala. Te kona ni lama nanji. Tin lava par savayang te yinu. Te kona ni lama nam. Nam je tin lava za te. Sinyi som de tin lava. Te yang kankya na. O ni som de kankya na. Te kankya na ngô nyi som te, ngô nyi som te kare, kuenta, jenwang, yonrop chi sabe, minkin som te. Sipan trupe lu, sipan sikyo te sosu chi wole, sosu chi wole trupe lu, da nyi su zong yang, Kanzak dadan, chuja dadu zonle yang, ranga ngowu tadu meba te. Yo manyong wa lanne, kunda takwa ki sao. Oya.
So the explanation of this point then is that all phenomena, which are the factors of knowledge, the that which is to be known, are included under these three essential aspects, and therefore they are given the name that precise nature which is the root. And it is also these being the day, at day you know, it says, and the day there refers to the three essential natures. So it is also with respect to these three essential aspects of imputed, dependent, and existent, that certainty is to be gained with respect to the remaining natures presented or named above. So this is the first out of the ten, and all of them are to be seen with respect to these three natures. So what are these? The three essential natures are those three having the names completely imputed, dependent, and perfectly or wholly or really existent? Then these three are described in the following way. The confused mind of the immature, that is to say, the immature being ordinary beings. So the deluded intellect of the immature hold that there are two types of self-entity. Nevertheless, these do not exist with any duration, having an essence of their own. So there is not a substantial essence of these two forms of self-entity existing with the duration in terms of a time span or time stream. And it is with respect to this utter lack of existence that the name
completely imputed is used. In the eyes of the conceptual process, the appearance of the duality of perceived and perceiver exists. Without, however, its being existent as duality in precisely the way it appears to do so. And it is with respect to this impression or this this awareness that the term dependent is used. Because it provides the base for the arising of the deluded imputation. Then, what is it that really exists? The precise nature which, or the precise... So the precise nature of that which exists as the essence of the emptiness of dualism, and that which does not exist, namely the duality of perceived and perceiver, so the precise nature of this existence and non-existence defined in these ways is the truly existent aspect, that is to say, the fundamental state. And it is these three defined in this way, which are the, or presented in this way, which are the three essential natures associated with imputation and so on.
That Kunba ki sabaton kaina. Kunba ki sabaton. Kanza tang. Chuja dani kundare.
So then, if one were to ask the question, what really is involved in these three essentials, what they basically mean is, in using the term a complete imputation, this means that the two forms of self-entity, that is to say, the personal self as well as a self-entity within phenomena, is a complete imputation.
And
what is the reason for this complete imputation not existing with an essence of its own? It is, the answer to that would be that since it is a complete imputation on the part of the deluded intellect of an immature being, it has no substantial essence. And if one similarly asks what is the meaning of the, what is referred to as the dependent aspect, it refers to the process of awareness itself.
And
hence the dependent aspect is that which in terms of genuine reality does not exist but which exists relatively. So it is the manifestation of the relative existence of substances. So what is the truly existent or the perfectly existent aspect? It is the lack of the duality of perceived and perceiver.
Yondrob ne jirwa me pe chunyi re. Yondrob ki jwe pe jimtsin kanyi ke na jirwa me pe chunyi imbe ser na yondrob ki jwe.
And what is the significance of the term perfectly existent? It refers to the unchanging pure being, or that nature which does not change.
Zumba tang yodam meba drondo tang, kovande bar tavata, kanshi nene mjongwa, tede konen sinin to, kisong.
So the second point, dealing with the definitions of these three, is as follows. In relation to these, exaggeration, denial of phenomena and individuals, perceivables as well as of perceivers, existence and the lack of it as well, are views which, understood, do not occur. This is the definition of the precise.
Mwonyi sumpun dela, kunta ke ngowo yewan ke ngowo yondob je ngowo te, mwonyi sumpun dela, sosun sinyi jatabu yinba ne. Sinyi jatabu yinba ne, chunza dan sinyi ji chepar pena, me te chunza re, Then, Yorje rangin yam, yorje ne cho la dron dog ba tang. Mayin ba la yin ba ndo na dro tak pare. Yin ba la mayin sam na kondeb le. Dron dog tang kondeb me par. Chita wa yin du shukpe. Dron dog kondeb tang trawe, yorje rangin, chita wa yin du Shokwaam, shibha lo ti, chetar zonwa, lo ti ni je chetar zonwa, tetar yorjin si ni chang, tetar neba, yin gupe se na, yorjin jen zintang, yorjin lo yin zintang an zintor chi, yorjin si ni chunbar se ne tenba yinong, hoya. Yin no, there are. Master, they are not eating.
Tell them to get a bag of dual cashier. Decaps with dinton,
don't they, Yoruba? Don't turn back the paper. Kiranka meto and the candida samuto. Meto got no answer to that and meto the candida samuto.
Ne lola,
the Kiranka draw tag water. Kiranka draw tag water, Kiranka, your neto, the Yapo toy.
tene te den mitun ge
gom den bar
ho la so
yo te den ba to pa ya mare tene me pa ya mare nan san je ra wa te ta bri chi na ton dan ki pa lo lo te ton dan ton bar
tene yong nepa nepa yin ge te se na nepa di tene lokta me pe lo de la
ta yin du lo ti chetar zo wa te ta ri yor jin thi ni da lo ti chetar zo wa yin to yor te yang te tar ne go lu me to de tu tambar mado pa nang tan de yo pa nang dong yin mi de zo na lo te man tro ba re ta ni do yor de yang nang dong yin mi de ne go ba re kiran ge lo te me to de den de de zo do na me to den de de ne ya ma re te kiran ge lo te lo te tro de ba re ta lo te me to de nang dong yin mi de zo na
So, and with respect to these three essential natures, how is it that there, how are the defining characteristics of each? So, Rinpoche said that in this case one has to distinguish between the definiens and the definiendo. The definiens being that which is being defined, and the definiendum that, was the other way. Definiendum is that which is being defined, and the definiens that which defines it. So, Rinpoche used the example of fire and its heat and burning. So fire is the definiendum, that which is to be defined, and its defining characteristics, that through which it is defined, are heat and burning. So in the same way, we should understand this subject. The three essentials are the definiendum, that which is to be defined here, and how are the defining characteristics of each of these three to be understood? They are to be understood in the way that they are to be understood through the correspondence between the way, they are to be understood in terms of the correspondence between the perceptual process of the observing mind and the object itself. So this phrase, duntun, corresponding with the object or with the reality or with the meaning, so I asked Rinpoche how that should be understood, and basically there would be two possibilities. Either one's way of perceiving things does not correspond with the way the object actually is, or it does correspond. So if one, for example, sees the flower as appearing in this dualistic fashion, with an outward perceived object and an inner perceiving mind, and one takes that to be truly existent, then that does not correspond with the way the object is. So the definitions of the three essentials are given from the point of view of a mind perceiving things in a way that corresponds with the way they really are. In other words, a mind which understands that the flower is a mere appearance, not having a truly existent duality.
So the defining characteristics for a mind which has come to terms with the way things really are, free of exaggeration and denial with respect to the nature of the object. So for such a mind, the defining characteristics of an object will necessarily be and continue to be in the way that they are taken to be. So first of all, Rinpoche explained that the terms exaggeration and denial, what do these mean specifically? Exaggeration means the claiming existence for that which does not exist. And denial means denying the existence of that which does exist. So an intellect which is free of these two types of error, exaggeration, denial, in relation to the nature of objects, so the way that mind perceives things, the way that mind perceives the defining characteristics of the three essential natures is in fact the way they are and remain. So I asked Rinpoche about this nepa here, that they remain like that. What does it mean? They stay like that. And Rinpoche used the example of the flower, saying that if one perceives the flower as being truly existent in a dualistic fashion, then it won't stay like that, because that doesn't correspond with its nature. Whereas if one perceives the flower as being a mere appearance, which is the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, that is a perception of the flower which remains unshaken, unwavering, unchanged, because it corresponds with the nature of the flower. So the characteristics then of these three natures are being presented in terms of how the perceptual process of the observer determines the defining characteristics of the object. So then, to give the definition of the appearances of this life in accordance with the way this has been explained, the appearances of this life seen by an intellect which is free of exaggeration and denial with respect to the nature of these appearances, would mean that the appearances are being perceived in a way which corresponds with their being, such that this is a stable perception. It is a defining characteristic which remains, or which continues to be in that same way. So the Since the mind perceiving it is free of exaggeration and denial with respect to its nature, it is seen to be the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. And since this accords with its nature, then this is the way it continues to be. And this constitutes the defining characteristic or the definition of the appearances of this life, as explained here. So then, if one has certainty, certain knowledge as to the appearances of this life, then one would be aware, or one's intellect will perceive them in a way which is free of exaggeration, in the sense that one will not take these appearances as having true existence. So one will not fall into that exaggeration or overestimation. At the same time, one will not deny the mere appearance on a conceptual level. So one will have a perception of the appearances which is based on an understanding of their nature being the inseparability of appearance and emptiness.
Dena chede nama la drondo kunde tang tarwar nandong yemi to nipe nishi ete mantar vare tin jinsor tar nishi te yin jinsor tar do chede nama drupat be chede nama tinir.
So the so when the observing mind then is free of exaggeration and denial towards the appearances of this life, seeing that they are and continue to be the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, this perception is undiluted and constitutes the defining characteristics of the appearances of this life, since this definition accords with the way they are. And at the same time, it is a definition prescribed by the observing intellect. It is the observing intellect which imposes, if you will, or determines this characteristic.
Kunta kanga rangi kina ta tensa kare kunta kanga rangi kunta rang ne kanga ne tor kina chudan kanza la.
So then that was a general introduction, and then we get into the question of what are these defining characteristics as related to the three essentials. So the first one is described as so when the nature of that which is a complete imputation is understood, the views of exaggeration claiming a material existence for phenomena and individuals, as well as the denial of them, which claims that they do not exist conventionally, will not arise. So these two wrong views will not arise, and hence, or in this way, the defining characteristics of the precise nature of complete imputation are formulated. And I asked Rinpoche, what is dekonani, being translated as precise nature, it means the real nature, the actual nature of the imputation, or process of imputation. So the defining characteristic of the actual nature of the process of imputation are formulated as here. So then, what is the meaning of this? It is that if one understands the nature of this process, which is complete imputation, then an exaggeration claiming things to exist which don't, claiming phenomena and individuals to exist, will not arise. And the opposite view of denying the relative existence of phenomena and individuals will also not occur. And hence, the definition of the precise nature of the process of imputation will be understood. So, in other words, when one understands the process of imputation correctly, one will not have confusion as to a true existence of individuals and phenomena, and one will also not be involved in denying their existence, relatively speaking. And as we can see then, since this constitutes the defining characteristic of the actual nature of imputation, this definition or these defining characteristics are a property of the observing mind. These definitions are applied from the intellect which observes in this unmistaken way. And how is that? It is in the sense that it is due to understanding the actual nature of the process of imputation that one sees the true situation. And therefore, it is this perception, it is this observing mind which is determining, from whose point of view the definition of imputation is applied.
Kuanda gate kona ni chipe namdo kanle trovan jori kena. Kena se treva reba. Treva.
Oh.
Kena. Kuanda gate kona ni chi lekpar kena. Lekpar yang takpar kena. Namdo kanle trovan jori kena. Se treva se. Lin. Kunda kate kona ni lekpari china, chudang kanza la, drondo gan namdo tang, kunde gan namdo le drogre. Tisago.
Namdo di le drogre.
Drogre. Kunda karangi lekpari china. Kunda kate kona ni.
So then one could ask the question then if the nature of the conceptual, the process of imputation is understood, will one then be free from all concepts? And the answer is that through understanding the proper nature of imputation, one will be free of the concepts of exaggeration, thinking that individuals and phenomena truly exist, and denial of their existence relatively. So these concepts one will be free of due to understanding the true nature of imputation. So these defining characteristics are those of the observer. These defining characteristics are those of the observer with the imputation of the name associated with the actual defining characteristic of the object being dependent on the observer. So the defining characteristics, which are in the names imputed to the object, depend on the observer, so it is the observer which applies its defining characteristics on the definiendum, that which is to be defined, saying it is like so, this and this and so and so. So it's the observing mind applying those definitions, and in applying them, then rendering them knowable, or having applied the definition in that fashion, then it becomes known like that. However, it would never be possible for these defining characteristics to exist objectively out there, not in relation to this, without the relationship to this observing mind, or independent of the observing mind. So what is referred to as the existence of defining characteristics within the phenomena of outer substances do not exist from their own side. This exposition has been given in order to illustrate the profound property of consciousness in its mere putting up. This term parshak means to put over there, which Rinpoche defined as takpa, to impute. So it is the, you could say the, possibly we could translate this as the creative function of the concept. So these defining characteristics do not exist from their own side, but are explained in this way in order to illustrate the profound property of consciousness in its sheer creative ability exhibited by the consciousness, the conceptual mind working from the inside. So while not existing, the two forms of self-entity from the perspective of sheer imputation exist. So the two forms of self-entity, while not existing, from the viewpoint of mere imputation, exist, and this is the defining characteristic of imputation. And to understand it in this way is an insight which relates to the defining characteristic of this in an unmistaken way.
Oh, yeah. Ta tsawa zong dan zeng yin si ki tel le vira, ta yen wang ki tsin yin si. Te yin do yen wang kang ki tsin yin hi na, yen wang ki tsin yin lekpar hi na, yen wang ki tsin yin yam, Yewanga Rangin Leparikina, Yewanga Mo Kangin Bate Manor Vakina, Tene Yewang La Drondo Tang Konda Jetava Le Trogre, Kandes Trogre Zungzing Yi Zes Tade de Yerba Drondo Batang Zungzing Ze Tade de Yerba Zena Yewang La Drondo Bare Kundazu Bare.
When
Similarly, if one understands the nature of what is the dependent aspect, what constitutes the dependent aspect. So to understand it would mean that one would not have exaggeration denial with respect to the dependent aspect. And specifically, that would mean one would not have exaggeration as to a separate material existence of both the perceived and perceiver. So Rinpoche said that in a dream, there would be the appearance of duality, or things would appear as if they were dualistic, as if there were a perceived object existing separately from the perceiving mind. And to take them as being so, to take them as really being separate, would be the exaggeration referred to here. The exaggeration of taking the duality of perceived and perceiver to exist materially in a separate fashion, separate from each other. So if one understands the nature of the dependent aspect, this exaggeration will not arise, and also the denial of them claiming that they do not exist conventionally will also not arise. And here Rinpoche said that in the case of the dream, there would, relatively speaking, be an appearance. One could not deny the existence of the appearance relatively. So to understand the nature of the dependent aspect, if one understands it properly, these two incorrect views will not arise, and this is the defining characteristic of this. That is to say, this is the defining characteristic of the actual nature of the dependent aspect.
Zungzhen la drondo tang kundep jeta van jungumare. Drondo ba de kar zungzhen ze ta de to yenwang rangin lekpar ki na tene zungzhen ta de to yo ba drondo kata van jungumare yang tanyi zang do yang mebar ta be kundep jeta van jungumare.
So then one could ask, if to understand this nature of the dependent aspect properly, what good is that? The advantage is that if one understands it properly, these two types of mistaken notions do not arise. So in understanding it properly, one does not fall into the exaggeration of thinking that perceived and perceiver exist separately in an objective fashion, and similarly one would not fall into the error of denying their existence conventionally. So then, if one has the understanding that appearances, dualistic appearance, on the level of genuine reality does not exist, but exists conventionally as a mere appearance in the same fashion as a dream or illusion, if one has that understanding, then the errors of exaggeration denial will not arise, and in their not arising, one will understand the defining characteristics of the actual nature of the dependent aspect. So the this can be understood in relation to the explanation that was given just above. If one understands the nature of that which constitutes that which perfectly exists, the view of exaggeration as to the existence of a duality of perceived and perceiver will not arise, as well as a denial of the emptiness. So, in an unmistaken understanding of what really exists, what will be perceived is the emptiness of perceived and perceiver. And in perceiving this emptiness, then one will not fall into the error of exaggeration in thinking that the duality of perceiver and perceiver actually exists. At the same time, one will avoid the extreme of thinking that the emptiness does not exist. So in understanding properly the nature of the perfectly existent aspect, one avoids both of these extremes, and in avoiding them then understands the defining characteristics of the truly existent aspect. So what is the benefit of understanding the nature of the perfectly existent aspect? It is that understanding it, then, one will not develop exaggeration and denial with respect to the genuinely existent or genuine reality, which means that one would not think of perceived and perceiver as existing, and also one would not, so in other words, one would perceive the emptiness of perceived and perceiver, and also one would avoid the error of thinking that the emptiness does not exist. So one would be free of exaggeration and denial with respect to the emptiness, and in that way would understand the defining characteristics of the truly existent aspect. So when the three essentials have been understood in this way, certainty will have been gained in accordance with the way the defining characteristics of these actually are, and the inappropriate notions of or mistaken notions of exaggeration and denial with respect to their nature will not occur, and the intellect which is free of this exaggeration and denial will know the meaning which has been identified in this way, which will be equivalent to a knowledge of the concrete characteristic of these three essential natures.
Dekapso drondo dang koban depar tawa ta kanchi ne nam jongwa sijite yugle yobare ina tsini somga la ya kwenda yembang yondo somga la jarware.
So then in understanding these three essential natures, the wrong views of exaggeration and denial do not occur, and this is in relation to all three of these essential natures.
Oh yeah, titering. Tanda te kona ni chole, chuenza ngu ni son ji te kona ni, te son ji tsini ji te kona ni, ni te dordu shudrubai.
So today then, from the chapter dealing with the 10 precise natures, the first of them, namely the precise nature of the root to be defined, has been explained, as well as the defining characteristics of these three essential natures.
The Lord
in relation to these, exaggeration, denial of phenomena and individuals, perceivables as well as of perceivers, existence and the lack of it as well, are views which, understood, do not occur. This is the definition of the precise.
dala chudang kanza dang zonwa da dang zimba dang yoda mepa drondo dang kurwan debar tawa dang kanshi nene mjongwa tete konen zini do.
In relation to these, exaggeration, denial of phenomena and individuals, perceivables, as well as of perceivers, existence, and the lack of it as well, are views which, understood, do not occur. This is the definition of the precise.
Dilla chudang kanza dang, zonwa da dang zimba dang. Yoda mepa drondo dang, kurwan debar tawa da. Kanshi nene mjongwa, tete konen zini do.
In relation to these, exaggeration, denial of phenomena and individuals, perceivables as well as of perceivers, existence and the lack of it as well, are views which, understood, do not occur. This is the definition of the precise.